Ecclesiastes chapter 12 in your Bibles, please. We're going to read all 14 verses tonight. And if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God this evening. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and beginning in verse 1, I'll read. You just follow along this evening as we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars, be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and ask, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even the words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The topic tonight is simply that of being efficient. Efficient. Now, one may say that efficient is accomplishing the greatest productivity by preparing yourself and your environment. Okay? Making preparation. When you think of someone who's efficient, you think of someone who has everything laid out, right? And they just go boom, 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 boom. They just get it done, right? That's someone who's efficient. Someone who's not efficient is one who perhaps says, okay, well, I want to do this, but let's see, where is that? I need that piece. I think it's over there, and oh, I might need that thing. And well, let's get into this project here. And all right, now we got to stop the project because I need to go get this. That's not very efficient, is it? Okay? And so we need to make sure that as Christians, we are efficient in what we do. How many of you have unlimited resource of time? Anybody? Good. Well, I was hoping somebody would raise their hand because I want some. Okay. I'm sorry. That's not a resource we can manufacture. We only have so much of it. And the Bible even goes so far to say, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. We understand that in order to be what God wants us to be, we should do with what we have as efficiently as possible. As a Christian, that is just a good steward. God wants us to be a good steward of the resources he's given to us. And if we're going to do that, we're going to need to be efficient. Are you producing in your Christian life as efficiently as possible? Many of you know that God has a sense of humor. All right? I have never wanted the burden and expense of having a swimming pool. Right? My children and my wife have been bugging me about this for years. Right? And as we were looking for homes, every time we saw a home with a pool, I said, nope. I didn't even look at it. Didn't even want to know what price it was. Didn't even care if it was sold. I didn't care if it was available. No, the answer was no. And so when God gave us this home with a pool, it was kind of funny. You just have to kind of chuckle a little bit. But can I tell you something? We've been busy end of June into July. And the filter on the pool has been running on and off, you know, on a timer. But it wasn't really doing anything. And the pool kept getting greener and greener and greener and greener. And the filter was running, but it was still getting greener. And even if you added some chemicals and things like that, it was still not working. Why? Because the filter was not running efficiently. And when we took it apart, it was compacted with all kinds of stuff. Okay? It has so much in it that it wasn't able to do its job. Now, once that all got cleaned out and was cared for properly and the preparations were made and things were set in place, it has worked phenomenally ever since. And my kids every day want to go swimming. Now, I use that to say to us as Christians, being efficient is important. What is clogging up your life to keep you from being efficient for God? To keep you from using the time that He's given to you for His purpose? We've got to understand that we need to learn to be efficient. Accomplishing the greatest productivity by preparing ourselves and our environment. The environment of that filter was not very good. So therefore, it was not efficient. But now that the environment of the filter is in good shape, it is correct, it is right, it's doing a great job. That's what we need to remember in our lives as Christians in being efficient. So the first thing is preparation. Preparation is key to being efficient. If we're going to be efficient, we need to prepare. This is an age-old argument I've had with people before. He said, well, you just gotta let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you this way and that way, just as He leads. And listen, I'm for that. But that does not eliminate preparation. Okay? Look at this. It's typed. Isn't that cool? It's got points. All the margins are in line. I'm a little OCD. Okay. All the fonts are the same. You know, they have a purpose. I know preachers that have things highlighted and different colors and all those things. You know, everybody's a little bit different, but can I tell you something? I'd be foolish to just kind of sit up here on the platform while Brother Camp's leading the songs and just kind of flip through my Bible and say, let's see, God, let's preach from this text tonight. All right. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Okay. We might could do that. Can I tell you something? That's not the Holy Spirit leading you. That means you're lazy. You're not preparing. We need to prepare. God loves it when we prepare ourselves for His service. In Proverbs chapter 30, Solomon, of course, who is also the writer of Ecclesiastes, tells us that the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in summer. If you turn your Bibles to Proverbs 31, we have a wonderful example of someone who was efficient. The Proverbs woman, right? Everybody knows Proverbs 31, right? Who can find a virtuous woman? It says in verse 10. For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. One of the first things we see about this Proverbs woman is she is a prepared individual. No one can accomplish those things without preparation. When you want to accomplish something, you need to lay out the things that are necessary to complete the task, to be able to do it efficiently. Brother Ron back here is a mechanic. And when he's going to change out a water pump, the book tells him, all right, you're going to need these tools. You're going to need this much time. You're going to need to do this things to the car. And he doesn't run around the shop looking for this part, looking for that tool, looking for the, he's got it all laid out right there. I just know he does. And he's shaking his head back there because I know he's a good mechanic. Can I tell you something? That's what a good mechanic does. How about the doctor while he's operating on you in the operating room, right? He's like, I forgot. I need to go get this. And then you hold on just a second. I know that blood is squirting out here, but just a minute, okay? Just a minute? No, just a minute. I want a doctor to be efficient, amen? I want him to be prepared. Or I don't want him to get in there and he's digging around and he's looking and saying, somebody give me a textbook on the circulatory system. I don't know what to do with this. You don't know what to do with this. This isn't, hello, doc. You're supposed to have a degree here. Well, I'm almost finished. Wait a minute. Almost finished. No. We need to be prepared in our lives as Christians. In the spiritual realm, when we take pauses like that or have a just a minute moment, the devil gets a foothold. Yeah, he does. We cannot afford to waste time. God wants us to be prepared. In 1 Chronicles, David had a desire to build the house of God. God said no. So he said, you know what I'm going to do? God, if you won't let me build the house, can I at least prepare for it? God said, sure. You know what David did? He prepared for the house, the building of the house of God. When Solomon became king, he had everything he needed to build that temple. Why? Because his father David prepared for him. We need to be prepared. David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. We ought to prepare. Is God not worthy of magnificent things? Well, how about this? Exceeding magnificent. You didn't even know that was a word, did you? It is. It's in your King James Bible. Magnificent. Yes. God deserves that with your life. How do we accomplish that? By preparing. By preparing. In John, it says in chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Isn't Jesus Christ our ultimate example? And if Jesus is going to practice preparation, should not we? Likewise, practice preparation. We need to learn to prepare so we can be efficient, so we can accomplish the greatest productivity by preparing ourselves and our environment. If we're going to get clogged up with sin and the world and the things of the world, and our filter is not going to filter the water like it's supposed to, we're not going to be an efficient filter. We're not going to be an efficient servant of God. We need to learn to be efficient. We need to learn to stay unclogged. We need to prepare ourselves as godly Christians. In Luke 22, the Bible says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat.' And they said unto him, 'Where wilt thou that we prepare?' And he said unto them, 'Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in, and ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready.' And they went out and found as he said, and they made ready the Passover." Jesus not only himself prepared, but he taught his disciples to prepare. And he teaches us to be prepared. Remember this, told to us by the Apostle Paul. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and all supplication for the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." You know, Paul says, be ready. Prepare. Someone who is prepared, a soldier who's prepared for battle, can be efficient in what they're doing. Unpreparedness leads to failure. Or it leads to an inadequate result. Just like the surgeon that has to step out of the surgery room and lets the guy bleed to death. Because he wasn't prepared. That's bad. Nobody wants that. Can I tell you, we need to learn to be prepared. James chapter 4 says, "Submit yourselves to God. Therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." We need to prepare ourselves for the service of the King. If I'm a vessel that is meet for the Master's use, then I'm going to be an efficient vessel. Why? Because I'm prepared. I'm the vessel that God wants me to be. I'm the servant that God wants me to be. I'm the filter that the pool needs it to be to filter the water. I'm all things that I need to be if I'm prepared to do the task. Doesn't the Bible tell us to be ready to give an answer to any man that asketh the hope that's in you? We need to be ready. We need to be ready for whatever comes our way. We need to be prepared. If we prepare, we can be efficient. What's the next thing we need to understand about being prepared? He said, remember what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12. "Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." He said we need to be ready for that time when the time of life is coming to an end. You understand that we need to prepare, but we also need to set our priorities. Priorities. In verse 9 of chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, it says, "And moreover, Because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. You know, Solomon kind of got off track at the end of his life, but he still knew what was important. He still knew what was right. It was unchangeable, the truth of the Word of God. It's unchangeable. You know what happens to us, keeping us from being efficient, is sometimes we get our priorities out of line. Yeah. Can I tell you something? Most of the time, the devil's not going to first try to sidetrack you with sin. Most of the time, he's not going to do that. You say, oh, come on, Brother Combs. You got to be kidding me. He's the devil. He's wicked. He's evil. Yeah. But can I tell you something? Most of the time, the devil tries to sidetrack you with good things. Just getting your priorities out of order. Turn you upside down. Get you out of line. And you say, but I'm not doing anything bad. You're right. You just got your priorities mixed up. And now you're not efficient anymore for the Lord. That's what happens. If you lay everything out, you have all the things you need for a project to be efficient, but you don't do things in the right order, you don't get this done right, we're going to have some problems. We're going to have some difficulties. Hey, can I tell you something? If God did not put this earth together the way He put it together and create the things that He created, scientifically they've proven that it would not have been successful. Everything was created just exactly how it was supposed to be. You can stick that in your evolutionary pipe and smoke it, okay? Yeah, it wasn't by accident. It was purposed. It had priorities. In our lives, we need to have priorities. Back to our Proverbs 31 woman. In verse 16, it says, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. This woman has a reason for the things she does, the things she does. She has a priority schedule in her life. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What does that mean? Seek ye first. Priorities. You know, in kindergarten and pre-K, in my time as a Christian school principal, I actually taught every subject in every grade. When you're a Christian school principal, you have to teach the classes that you can't get teachers for. So I've taught all the classes. And when a teacher is sick, you have to substitute if you can't find another substitute. So I've taught all the classes, all the grades, and we teach something in pre-K and kindergarten called ordinal numbers. First, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. Everybody remembers your ordinal numbers. In the Abeka curriculum, it's the ordinal otters. The little otters are, yep, first otter, second otter, third. Okay. Anyways, you didn't need to know that. But that means there's a priority. So God says, what comes first? God. God. In your life, in the priority schedule that you have, what's first? What's first? You say, well, how do I measure that? Well, what do you spend the most time on? What do you spend the most money on? What do you spend the most this or that thinking about or doing? Is it God? Does he have first place? Then in all things, Christ is supposed to have the preeminence in our life. Preeminence is first. God should be first in our lives. We ought to think about where our priorities are. Oftentimes, they are out of line, out of order. In Psalm 63, David said, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Now, in that particular passage of scripture, where would you say God is in the priority schedule for David? On top. God needs to be and have first place in our lives. We need to get our priorities lined out. Listen, I am for entertainment. That's fine. I like sports. I like those things. But that should be really low on your priority schedule. Yeah. Hey, we got things out of line. We need to get things back in line. And if we get them back in line, we can learn to be more efficient. In Luke chapter 10, it says, Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now listen to this. What Martha is doing here is not wrong. The work of the home needs to be done. Jesus was not rebuking her because she was working. Her priorities were out of line. Here we go. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? That sounds like some of my kids. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You know, I've found at times serving the Lord in the ministry that I could get too busy about the work and forget the God of the work. Yeah. That Martha syndrome. It's not a bad thing. It's not bad. It's not evil. It's not wicked. Just get my priorities out of line. I'm not as efficient as I should be. We need to make sure we get that right. Jesus was not telling Martha not to work. But he said, hey, you just got your priorities mixed up. She chose to spend some time with me. That stuff can wait. One of my mentors in Bible college told me, he said, Eric, life is a juggling act. You have rubber balls and glass balls. Don't drop the glass ones. Yeah. Don't drop the glass ones. What is that? That's prioritization. We got to learn to prioritize things so we can learn and to be more efficient in the work. I have some more verses here, but just to explain. We need to be what God wants us to be. And we have to put in place the right things. Prioritizing is very important. Setting things in order. God does things decently and in order. That's 1 Corinthians 14:40. We know that he needs to be at the top. And everything else needs to fall in line. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and let's look at verse 13. Solomon says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I like this. These are the last verses of the last chapter of this interesting book. And if you want a mystery, an interesting book to read, read the book of Ecclesiastes. It'll spin your head around 3 or 4 times and maybe leave it on backwards. It's just one of those books. Okay? It's a good one. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, look at this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So far tonight we've talked about being efficient. In the area of preparation, priorities, and lastly, production. Production. Recently, on the last 2 Sunday mornings, we've talked about a sower went forth to sow. And we talked about how when on the good ground, the seed fell and sprang up. In Matthew 13:23, it says, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. You know what the whole purpose of being efficient is? Is to produce. To produce. Do you not want to produce for your Savior? He saved your soul. He gave you eternal life. You know, over in Ephesians, it tells us in 2:8-9, right? For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But in verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Listen, when we stand before Christ at the judgment seat, we should want to cast these things at his feet. That should be a desire of our heart. He saved your soul. He gave you eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave. Doesn't that deserve some efficient production? I think it does. We ought to want to produce for him. Hey, can I tell you something? I don't want to be the 30-fold. I don't even want to be the 60-fold. I want to be the 100-fold. Oh, you're prideful, arrogant. Maybe I am. No, not for me. For him. In the story of the master that gave the talents, I don't want to be the one for certain. But even if I was the one that earned one, okay, that's fine, but I don't even want to be the 2 that earned 2. I want to be the 5 that earned 5 more and got the one from the lazy guy. I said, boy, you're just, well, I know, but can I tell you something? It's not for my glory. It's for his glory. I want to do the best. I want to give him the best. I want to be the most efficient I can. Because I'm going to prepare. And I'm going to prioritize. And I'm going to produce. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in a living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. The Bible tells us to lay up treasures in heaven, right? Not on this earth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You understand? Back to our Proverbs 31 woman. In verses 22 to 31, she says, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. You know what that is? Efficiency. That's production. That's preparation. That's prioritizing. It's a culmination of the work of our life. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Huh. Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Fear God and keep his commandments. This woman, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. You know what? I think we could improve in our efficiency for the Lord. Don't you? Are you prepared? Do you have your priorities right? And how's that production coming out? Being efficient.